Professors FM.
Hey, welcome everyone. Welcome to the Fanalytics podcast as we finally conclude our NFL fan base countdown. Now, Doug, I think it's almost more than a fan base countdown. It's more of a, you know, almost like a marketing analysis of each of the NFL brands. And we've been, you know, we started at 32 with the Washington Commanders, and we've worked our way all the way down to what is essentially NFL royalty. You're right. The teams they want to have on Monday night, the teams they want to go on the deep Super Bowl, they being the NFL, the teams that they want to have the big seasons from.
Yeah, it is kind of a brand ranking. It's interesting that you say that, but it does make me think, is that not the same thing as fandom rankings? Like if we had a ranking of Microsoft and Apple and Sony in the tech world, would that not, if those brands, would that not reflect the fandom for those brands? Because I would imagine Apple probably had some real loyalists and their brand would do pretty well. And so it's kind of one and the same the more I think about it. In evaluating these brands for each of these teams, you're evaluating how people respond to them and how people support them and ultimately how people are fans of them. So it is a fandom rankings. It is a brand rankings all in one.
I would give you an A. You know, if you said that, I would, like the second day of class, if you said that, I would just make a note. This guy's getting an A. I would barely grade the rest of your assignments.
I'm going back to school.
Just pencil that one in. Right. You're right. It's the thing that the fans have a relationship with is the team, which is the brand. So it's just, it's flipping things around in terms of how you look at it.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Doug, number five on this list. The Pittsburgh Steelers.
You got this one, Mike. That's your team.
Okay, so you look at the numbers the Steelers have retired. Bradshaw, Roethlisberger, Hines Ward, Jerome Bettis, Franco Harris, Lynn Swan, Joe Green, Jack Lambert, Troy Polamalu, and it goes on from there.
Yeah.
Okay, six Super Bowls, 13 million social followers. The Steelers are everything you want in an NFL brand. And again, the thing that's kind of unique about the NFL, everyone's got a shot, right? So Pittsburgh is a terrible market in a sport like baseball. But in the NFL, you can build a iconic, just a tremendous brand.
Yeah, it's almost like these blue-collar towns or towns that get that perception tend to do better in football than you would think.
Blue-collar towns that win, right?
Yeah, blue-collar towns that win.
Cleveland. Is the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we're not talking about Detroit. But yeah, that win, that seems to be a formula for success. Whereas like in our last episode, we talked about San Francisco and how like Silicon Valley, as much as that bring, you know, there's a lot of money in the area. It's like these guys seem less inclined to be like the diehard football types. And you get to somewhere like Pittsburgh or I don't know, I don't want to name the next team on the list, but yeah, that feels like part of it. It feels like probably the environment is pretty authentic in terms of it seems like the biggest fans are probably the ones in the stadium that they're, I don't know, are they priced out of the stadium? I don't know what prices are like there. But every time I watch a Pittsburgh Steelers game, it's much like watching a college game in the sense that you feel like the passion is there at Heinz Field and the fans are ruckus and they live and die for that team. And it's like they have other professional teams, but do they really? Because the Steelers are all that matter in that town.
Yeah. I mean, even think about the small traditions like the terrible towels, right? Yep. It's those kind of elements I think matter a great deal. I mean, maybe nothing matters when you're not winning. Yeah. I mean, look, my most hated tradition in college football, Doug, is I think it's Mississippi State.
Oh, those cowbells. Terrible.
But if they were winning national titles, that would be the most intimidating tradition in college football, right? That would be absolutely brutal.
Yeah. if it was Alabama or Georgia doing the same thing. I hate it. I do love the towels, though. My first Super Bowl birthday party, so my birthday is January 31st, and the Super Bowl lies that weekend, usually, like the following weekend, that first weekend of February. And so,
Doug, sometimes you get the sense that your parents like foresaw,
they timed it.
My what I was going to try and do in terms of this fandom space. And they went out of this way to create you as the perfect Gen Z millennial co-host for all of this.
Yeah. But we, very first one, I believe I was in the fourth grade, and it was Steelers Seahawks Super Bowl. And we would just pick a team, because like my team, the Giants, were out of it at that point, obviously. And so we just decide, you know, who we're going to pull for this year for this. Because every year my birthday party was the Super Bowl, and we'd get a bunch of guys together, and we'd be rowdy, and we'd roughhouse, and we'd play some sports, and we'd watch some football, and it was beautiful Americana at its finest. But for the Steelers, we all had our yellow towels. And there's a picture of a bunch of, I don't know how old you are in the fourth grade, a bunch of little boys, you know, hanging out in the living room with our yellow towels, swinging them around, and kind of adopting that tradition for the game. And so I do think that's kind of my first thing that comes to mind when I think of the Steelers. And I think there's probably a lot of people having something unique like that. It's memorable, and it gives you a culture almost, or it starts to give you some bit of a culture. I think the Steelers have a great culture. I think they have, again, a great fan base, kind of a relatively small stadium for the NFL. It's like Heinz Field doesn't seem like this massive.
Acrisure.
Yeah. They keep changing all the stadiums, but.
Like, I want to call it Three River. Mm-hmm. Even the name, the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? I mean, do team names matter? I think they do, right? And so, you know, something that was connected to something that was important in a regional sense, now it's become more probably a matter of kind of a historical remnant. But I think, being the Pittsburgh Steelers is a lot better than being the blah, blah, blah Wildcats or
right, you know, some random animal. Yeah, I'm looking down the list of teams, and it's like, how many teams have something like that? I guess you could say the Washington Commanders at 32, they went with that strategy of let's try to tie it to something local.
And maybe in 75 years, they will have built something, right?
The Chargers almost did the opposite, as it never lightnings in Southern California. Although it may have been like a prophecy, like they're thinking of all the electric vehicles and the chargers they would need.
Some of the teams have done that, right? I mean, it's part of going beyond the NFL, right? Some
Vikings, that's probably my favorite.
Some of the teams that we haven't mentioned yet: Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
Green Bay Packers,
49ers, right? I mean, 49ers. Yeah.
There's definitely that having that name that matches where the city was definitely seems to have some. The Houston Oilers, one of them is gone, right?
It's almost weird how many teams don't have that. Like, like when they created the Carolina football team, the Panthers, like, was that just a random animal that they're like, well, this is an animal that doesn't have a team? Because you're down the list and it's, you know,
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jaguars, Bengals, Cardinals, Bills, Lions, Dolphins, Rams. Like, it's all these random animals. Like,
Dolphins might work, though, right? I'm not
Dolphins
sure.
Dolphins works. Yeah. I mean, I just think of SeaWorld. It looks like a SeaWorld logo. Dolphins works, but like Atlanta Falcons, like how many Falcons do we see in Atlanta, Mike? Is that like part of the local culture in any way? I don't know what the connection. I mean, I'm sure there's something there, but a lot of these, it's Baltimore Ravens. Like, you see a lot of Ravens in Baltimore, apparently. I don't know.
Okay. At number four. Okay, this is a little bit surprising to me. So the importance of actually running the numbers. If you just asked me to roll off the top NFL fan bases, I would never put the Steelers behind the Eagles. But consistently, when you look at the numbers and you look at how they do in terms of pricing, social media, attendance, and you control for things like winning, the Eagles are ranked number four compared to the Steelers at number five. So the Eagles, and you know, maybe they benefit from being in that NFC East, right? That's sort of the most glamorous division. They get more appearances. I'm always surprised at how well the Eagles do in all of this, especially when you look over the history. Because like when you ask me to, I'll ask you, Doug, who are the iconic Eagles?
The guy that walked onto the team and they made a movie about it. I know for me, it's going to be different than it is for Eagles fans, because I grew up with like Donovan McNabb and Terrell Owens, Brian Westbrook, like Dawkins in the secondary. And then, of course, you know, this isn't an iconic because he didn't have a long Eagles career, but Nick Foles was one of the more incredible sports stories in the NFL in my lifetime.
Here's my quick question. Those are not bad names, but are they at the same level as Bradshaw, Roethlisberger?
Yeah, I know.
Lynn Swan, Jerome Bettis. But the in some ways, there are just some great sports markets in America. And Philadelphia is one of the great sports markets. They're notable in terms of what? Throwing ice balls.
Booing Santa Claus, yeah. I mean, I talked earlier about how special it was being in Giant Stadium and hearing all the thick accents that are just truly passionate about this team. And it's like life or death what's going on the field. And it seems like the Eagles kind of have that thing going on. Like it's weird because I don't know if they have as much of history as the Giants, but they have this level of passion that's like somewhere between the Giants and the Bills, where they've, you know, it's a bigger market than the Bills, not as big as the Giants, but they got a little bit of that Bills craziness in there somehow. And, you know, I got to say, as a Georgia guy, the Georgia Eagles are about to gain a whole nother fan base to add on to what they have with the number of Georgia players they've acquired in the last 2 years.
And only defensive players though, right? Is
that mostly, but they got DeAndre Swift via trade. After all of that, they said, you know what, let's go out and trade for a running back.
Okay, Doug, is that enough? Are you pulling for the Eagles when they play the Giants?
It's tough, Mike. I'm pulling for the Giants, but it's like I'm not pulling against anybody on the Eagles. And if the Eagles go on a tear, I'm definitely going to pull for them in the playoffs. You know, if the Giants are out of things, and I think Alabama fans feel the same way, because they've got just about as many Alabama guys on offense as they have Georgia guys on defense, which is clearly, like, I think it's clearly part of their strategy. They're taking guys that they tend to favor guys from the top programs and that have like a championship pedigree. And they're having a lot of success. So they're poised for a lot of success in the next couple of years. You know, looking at what they're at, it's tough to jump some of these teams in front of them. But
no,
this is their ceiling. This is their ceiling. Okay. Yeah, it's hard to imagine them being like the number one fan base.
I'm surprised they're, like I said, I'm still surprised they're behind the Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay, at number three. So the team whose last Super Bowl was in 1996.
Okay, but even
with their last Super Bowl being in 1996, whoever is playing quarterback for this team is always a major news story, because they're always trying to think about if they need to move on to the next guy. Currently, it's Dak Prescott.
All right.
Dallas Cowboys at number three. Some of the iconic names: Aikman, Staubach, Irvin, Emmett Smith, Tony Dorsett. Well, Jerry Jones is the, you know, most prominent or prolific or something owner in the NFL. Hated owner, perhaps, in the NFL.
Yeah.
The Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, America's team.
They have their own TV show for just the cheerleaders.
But you know what, Doug? A lot of people see this on the list, and that's where they go, this is why your fandom base rings are a joke. Dallas Cowboy fans show up 10 minutes after the game starts. Buffalo Bills fans show up 2 hours before, and it's in the snowstorm.
Yeah, I think that's kind of how I feel. But I'm a Giants fan. I hate the Cowboys. Yeah. I think the Cowboys have more haters than any team in the league, and I think that's a little bit underrated in terms of fandom, because you look in the NBA, like I would say LeBron has more haters than any player ever, and at the same time, it's like if we did a fandom rankings for the NBA, LeBron probably has a bigger fandom than any of the teams in the NBA, like people who are just following his career and whatever team he's on. And so I almost feel like that's where Dallas thrives. It's like you can say their fan base sucks, but the fact that you're so impassioned about the Dallas Cowboys as an anti-fan is probably reflective of how big of a deal that franchise actually is, and the fact that Giants fans feel like that's their rival, Eagles fans feel like that's their rival, Washington fans feel like that's their rival, the entire division of the NFC East thinks Dallas is their rival. That says something about Dallas and, for whatever reason, their prominence in the NFL. And I think that when you have that much, there's kind of this like equal and opposite force applied with fandom, where it's like you have that much hate, there's going to be people on the other side. And I think that's kind of what these numbers depict, is that there really are. There's a lot of Dallas Cowboy fans all over the U.S. They might not have the best local market in terms of the people in the stadium might not be as passionate as Buffalo fans, but you better believe there's bars packed out across the country for Dallas Cowboys every week. And I don't know if Buffalo can say that.
Can you say that these fans are kind of spoiled, and that's what they're sort of, they're kind of like Duke basketball fans. And but the interesting thing about the Cowboys, right, is they don't really have that history of winning. They haven't really won in a generation.
Yeah.
But it does feel like, yeah, I'm a Cowboys fan, and it, like, there's a smugness that goes along with it, right?
Well, it's like, you know, you can kind of tell, okay, so you also pull for the Lakers, and in college football, you pull for Alabama. Like, that's the stereotype with Cowboys fans, I think, and probably deserved. It's like, when we were all kids, you cheated, because I picked a team based on my personality and the types of things, the players that I liked and wanted to support. You just looked at the teams and said, who's the most popular team? Who has the most resources? You know, who's winning the most games, depending on the era? I know a couple of these top teams have that reputation where it's like, you took the easy way out. You took the team that's probably going to be.
It was even
top.
Easier because when this Cowboy fandom, when this brand was really created, it was the 1970s.
Yeah.
And so the Cowboys were a regular winner back then. So it was like, you were picking the glamorous team with the cheerleader and the former naval midshipman at the quarterback and Staubach, right? Yeah. It was you know, they called it America's team. So it
it's
was
the easy way out. Yeah, it's the easy way out. And I think that, like, I remember my brother picked the Panthers, and we used to almost argue about whose team was worse when we started pulling for them. I was like, the Giants didn't even make the playoffs. Tiki Barber was my favorite player. I watched every game. They didn't even make the playoffs. Kerry Collins, Kurt Warner, early years of Eli Manning, Giants were not good. And he's like, well, I picked the Panthers, and, you know, Jake Delhomme would throw a lot of interceptions. And I'd be like, the Panthers made the Super Bowl that year. And it was like an argument. It was like, who had the word? But it's like fans almost take pride.
Who had character is what
it's like. You're a more genuine fan if you had been with that team since they weren't good. And I always felt like Daylor, my brother, I always as a kid felt like he picked the Panthers the year that they went on a Super Bowl run. Like, he cheated. he cheated. He didn't have to work for it like I did.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I think is actually kind of explains something that's going on with the Eagles. Because I think Philadelphia fans, when the teams are losing, that fan base, those Philadelphia fans across every sport get very aggressive. They hate their teams more than the other people hate their teams.
Right.
I think that's some of the confusion as to why people don't put the Eagles, you know, Philadelphia fans at the very top. Like, perhaps,
well, they'll boo their own players for sure. They'll boo their own players if they need to. They do what's necessary. But like, one last note on the nature of fandom and what's coming to mind right now is like, when the Giants did win their Super Bowls, and I would meet people those years, and they would say, who do you pull for? And I would say, the Giants. And they would go, oh, like, you just pick the team that just beat Tom Brady. That's pretty convenient. And so I would always preface it by saying, I've been pulling for him since they didn't make the playoffs with when Tiki Barber was the star. And he's actually the reason I pulled for them, and would kind of explain that I've been here for the long haul. I didn't just jump on the bandwagon when they're winning Super Bowls. And it's funny how often fans, I'm sure there's a lot of Eagles fans now that will do that. That'll be like, hey, you know, I was here during the drought. So, you know, I deserve this. I am fully enjoying the reign that we're in right now.
I don't want to say too many words about what you said, but it's an important point about fandom that I think something might be going wrong with sports in general, is that to really be a fan, there's got to be something exclusive about it, right? This broad idea that everything is for everyone, you know, may well be creating a lot of really kind of shallow fans. And not a lot of sort of trading off many, many shallow fans and almost destroying kind of that core intensive live and die with the teams. Okay, number two on the list, the Green Bay Packers.
They fell.
Well, they are down one from last year. Okay, the Packers in some ways screw up a lot of this because they're in a tiny market. So when these models are built, controlling for market size, you don't get a lot of sympathy from the numbers if your market's small. Because, hey, Green Bay can generate massive social media following. Pittsburgh can generate massive social media following. So why can't you do it in Buffalo or Jacksonville? The Packers have, you know, Favre, Starr, Rodgers as the iconic quarterbacks, a history of Super Bowl, community ownership, essentially. You know, it's a publicly owned firm.
Yep.
That's why, as a side note, whenever the reason why people have more information about things like the NFL is because the Green Bay Packers have to publish an annual report, mm-hmm. and that's how people know what the TV deal is worth, you know, what this essentially, I think Forbes magazine like waits on bated breath for when that annual report comes out so they can start to do the valuations. Maybe the perfect brand, right? The perfect sports brand. These guys walking around in cheese hats, even, and the terrible towels. There's no real doubt. Green Bay is a truly remarkable sports story.
Well, I think that one other factor that comes into play is they've got that iconic rivalry. Rivalries are so important in sports. It's like
with who?
The Bears.
Okay. I just wanted to push you on that a little bit because I think of it as the Bears as well. But I got to tell you, those people in Minnesota,
yeah,
they think they've got the iconic rivalry with
them. Well, it's kind of like Auburn, Alabama. I always, as a Georgia fan, I always felt like Auburn was our rival, you know, because we played them every year and season often came down to that game in terms of, you know, if you're going to make a SEC championship or national championship. But I mean, everybody knows that's that Alabama Auburn is the rivalry, but it's like, what is a, do any of these great when we think about fandoms across, like some of the great fandoms across sports, do any of them lack an iconic rivalry? You know, like it's hard to, and I guess maybe our next team might, but Green Bay, of course, with the Bears, you think of the Yankees, and of course they have the Red Sox and vice versa. You think of the Cowboys, and of course you've got the Washington football team. Think of Michigan, you got Ohio State, and vice versa. Alabama's got Auburn. Like, you go down the list, and it's like a lot of these, it's hard to find teams that are that iconic that don't have a foe. You know, who's Batman without, you ever watch like the Batman movies where there's kind of like a villain that's kind of mediocre, or any of the superheroes really? And it's like, it's just never as good as when it's Batman and the Joker.
You're saying it's better when it's Batman and the Joker and not Batman versus Poison Ivy?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. And I'm sorry, Vikings fans, but in the eyes of Packers fans, you're Poison Ivy.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, when I'm looking
at this list. Actually, you're probably more like Bane. But
when I'm looking at this list, some of it's like, I think sometimes these rivalries change over time. But you're right that there's probably a lot of an issue where a lot of these teams at the top have multiple rivals, right? I mean, the Dallas Cowboys.
Cowboys and Eagles for sure.
Well, but I suspect that if you go back in the day, it was the Cowboys versus the Redskins. And I'm using that intentionally at this point.
Yeah.
That game was going to be on Monday Night Football. One of those two games was going to be on Monday Night Football every year.
Every year, yeah.
The Cowboys and the Steelers had a pretty significant rivalry for a time. The Cowboys have rivalries with the Eagles, with the Giants.
Giants.
It's kind of an interesting question what Cowboys fans would say who their rival was, where a lot of other clubs might say it's with the Cowboys.
I think it's a little unfortunate for the Cowboys because they feel like the Washington football team is their rival, but their true rival doesn't really exist anymore. Even like metaphoric, like the Cowboys versus Indians type of thing. It's like, that's not really a thing. I mean, Cowboys versus Commanders.
No, it's nothing.
It's yeah. So I think that's like a pretend rivalry now because they want to keep that tradition, and it's unifying to have a team to hate. It is unifying. I think that like Auburn fans that I know, they almost, the years where they're not successful, they're equally invested in football, but it's almost like they're just watching Alabama pulling for whoever they're playing against. And so it's like they've got two games every week that they're watching. And same with Alabama fans. They're watching the Auburn game every week in addition. And so it's like they have doubled the investment because they've got twice as much time they're spending every week watching games and intensely pulling for one team to win and one team to lose.
On the other side of that, I'm wearing a Fighting Illini shirt today. Who's Illinois' football rival? Right?
Themselves. The end zone.
Getting out of the way. And continually they'll try and create something like, well, there's this in-state team, Northwestern, so they should be rivals.
Yeah.
No one cares.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you might want to beat the in-state rival a little bit, but that it's so far away from a true rival in terms of – I mean, so when I think about your alma mater, Georgia –
I was thinking
you've got really significant. I mean, currently you've got a massive rivalry with Alabama because you're competing for the national championship. You've got Auburn. That Tennessee game seems like a pretty significant game every year. The Florida game seems like a rivalry game. And so I think you're right that when you've really built that brand and you've got those passionate fans, that these rivalries, they grow up. And having a big one, Auburn, Alabama, Michigan, Ohio State. Yeah, that's everything.
Yeah, and I think like Georgia, you know, technically their quote unquote rival is Georgia Tech. And there was
I forgot that one, right?
Yeah, you didn't even list them, which is pretty telling, but you know, that's one where
the tagline, right? Good old fashioned hate or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And historically, like Georgia Tech's won a bunch of championships and they've had great football programs. At this point, it just feels unfair. Like current state of college football almost feels like Georgia State and Georgia Tech should be playing on rivalry weekend, and to get a like a,
that might be the most hurtful thing that's been said in the history of the podcast.
I am not even trying. I'm trying to be objective, but I look at it and I'm like,
find some video and put that one out there on some.
But I mean, as a Georgia fan though, I've always had a little bit of FOMO with like growing up in Alabama, and it's like rivalry weekend it's another level there with Alabama Auburn. And I do think Georgia's developed these rivalries where it's almost kind of like a Cowboy situation where it's like, we're their rival, we're Florida's rival, we're Tennessee's rival. We're, you know, almost every team on the schedule, they feel like Georgia's their rival because we're what's in between them and where they want to go. That's how Dallas is, I definitely think, in the NFC East at least. But, you know, I do think that like Alabama's fandom and Auburn's fandom both benefit from that rivalry and the nature of it, the ups and downs of it, more so than like a Georgia or a Georgia Tech fandom where it's more of a one-sided deal. And not that Alabama Auburn isn't one-sided, but there's a level of unpredictability there that you don't get. And I've always kind of envied that. I've always felt like, man, it'd be fun to have a rival that we could really, and I think Georgia fans kind of want Florida to be that. I think deep down people want, they don't want Florida to be good. They want Florida to be their Auburn. They want Florida to be the Auburn to their Alabama.
I mean, you know, if you could go back in time and Spurrier stays at Florida.
Yeah.
Then you want them as your rival.
Well, Urban Meyer stays at Florida. I mean, there's historically been
more of a Spurrier guy.
Okay.
You know, beating Spurriers. I mean, you know what? Actually, you're probably right. Beating either of those guys is probably awesome for the Georgia fan base, but very different characters. Like, I think they just hated Urban Meyer. With Spurrier, you kind of hate him, but you kind of love him too. One of those kind of relationships.
Yeah.
Okay. Last one on the list. Number one. I want to call them the Boston Patriots, but it's the New England Patriots. I want to call them the Boston Patriots because when I've done these rankings across different sports, the Boston teams end up in the top five across every league. The Bruins, a top five team. The Celtics, probably a top three brand.
Sox.
The Red Sox, you know, a top five brand, probably a top three brand. And Celtics. So this is the preeminent sports city in America. The Patriots were probably the weak link. But then they had this guy, you know, they had this quarterback named Drew Bledsoe that got hurt. I want to say it was a playoff game against the Steelers, and this kid came in, or maybe it was the week before the Steelers, and this kid came in, Tom Brady, and the rest was history. Probably no better example of a team being, of a brand equity being created by a single player. And so Brady is the GOAT on the field, and he's also the... Maybe he's not the marketing GOAT. I think that's still Michael Jordan, but God, he's up there, and he's not done yet.
He's not done yet. Yeah, I was just gonna say it almost seems like he's gonna focus more on that moving forward. But I talked earlier about the Saints. I guess in our last episode, how the Saints were they didn't really have success before Drew Brees, and they didn't really have success, or haven't had success after. And you're like, I wonder where this goes long term. New England, they're a little bit of a different situation, but there is kind of still this lingering question of, yeah, are they going to win Super Bowls again? Because they haven't. So it's kind of like the Spurs after Tim Duncan and all them left. It's like they haven't really done anything. I mean, they still got Belichick in New England. And I know when Mac Jones, his first year, people just assumed he's going to be the next Tom, because a little bit overlooked, kind of like unathletic seeming guy that's more of a stereotypical prototype, like pocket passer in Belichick's system. We all know how this goes. Nothing good's really happened since then. And so I'm pretty curious to see. I do think, like, it's pretty amazing that they're ranked number one this year, given the circumstances. And yet I'm still curious long term, are they going to have a long history beyond Tom Brady? Because the Packers weren't, you know, you don't think of the Packers and just Bart Starr or Brett Favre. Like, the Packers have had generations. The Cowboys had generations. A lot of these teams, the Steelers, the Eagles, and it's really just one era in New England that put them at number one.
Well, and I think, and just to, you know, sort of think through the mechanics of the rankings, as the team falls off, but they're still able to maintain the pricing, second highest prices in the league.
Yeah.
Massive social following. As they're able to maintain those things, you know, building up brand equity takes a long time. It also erodes slowly unless you have the bottom fallout like the Commanders. So I suspect that they are here. Maybe they're not number one. You know, maybe they're in a battle for the top three between Green Bay, Dallas, and the Patriots for a long time, simply because that Boston fandom is so unique.
Yeah.
Right? That community supports their teams with a degree. And again, I mean, you mentioned this idea of a rivalry. I think for Boston, part of it is that they've got this rivalry with New York. They're partially all in on every team because they're rooting against New York via their local clubs.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I hadn't really thought of it in terms of the Boston-New York rivalry. I know, of course, in baseball, that's the famous one. But like those Giants-Patriots Super Bowls, I mean, that's kind of Yankees-Red Sox. Like, that's the dominant Boston team, of course, versus premier big market New York team, you know, New York's top club. And so it's kind of amazing how it played out that way in sports. And New England, I feel like everybody else hates them. And it's kind of a Cowboys thing in that way, where it's like, that's pretty reflective of probably their fandom. And where if you hate Patriots fans, it's because you've met a couple of them. You know what I mean? No, you're not hating Raiders fans, right? Because we talked about that in the last episode. I've never met a Raiders fan. But Patriots fans, I've met several. And it's all, every time you think, you know, this guy was, he's not from New England, and he's got this obsession with this team that's never done anything but win in his lifetime. He's never been through the struggle that I've been through, you know, and there's this kind of this envy slash hate that goes into it. And then there's that built in, like, Boston, we love Boston sports fans because we don't have a dog in the fight. But if you're a Yankees fan, you're like, pretty naturally, you're probably going to hate the Patriots because it's a bunch of Red Sox fans. Like,
okay,
there's that overlap in sports.
Here's your question. Who are the Patriots' rivals?
That's where I think there's 31 teams.
You could go back in time, and it was definitely the Indianapolis Colts and Peyton Manning, right?
That was a great rivalry.
They beat the Steelers every time they played them, so it was sort of a rivalry.
Right. The entire AFC, at least.
New York Jets? But the Jets are never successful.
Are also like a, I almost feel like Patriots fans, it really might be the Giants, just because that's somebody that actually beat them, you know, that when it really mattered.
They don't play, right?
Yeah, they don't play enough, but that is just such a weird one because the Giants have never been better than them, but they've beat them almost every time. And I'm not just talking those two Super Bowls. They had a regular season game the same year as that second Super Bowl, 2011, and the Giants won the final minute of the game. They had a preseason game where the Giants won at the very end. Like, they just, for whatever reason, that's how it goes in that one. And so I think Patriots fans probably hate the Giants. You know, a lot of Giants fans are Yankees fans, and a lot of like I mentioned, a lot of Patriots fans or Red Sox fans, of course. And so that might feel like it, but I don't know if there's like a team, like divisional rival. They don't have that like R words versus Cowboys type thing where there's someone they play every year where there's, you know, it feels like there's a playoff spot on the line every single time. But part of that is because there's never really been playoff spots on the line for New England. I know Miami feels like that's their rival. I know the Jets feel like that's their rival, but New England's never felt threatened by them in the years where they really have a shot.
Okay, Doug, I think we're going to wrap it here. You guys can review the complete list at www.fandomanalytic. And, you know, Doug, as we finish this retrospective, it's probably time to now start to look at the upcoming NFL season. So we'll get to that shortly.
That makes me happy.